Today on Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe, we'll discover the impact God's presence can have on a heart that's struggling with doubt.
This is a spiritual battle between the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of those who want to keep you away from the Spirit. There is a combustion that's happening, colliding against each other, faith and doubt, spirit and the flesh, darkness with light. I mean, it stirs some things up.
Welcome to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe. Mark is the president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. You'll find us online at boldstepsweekend.org. While you're there, be sure to catch up on Mark's past programs or check out our latest Bold Action resources, including a special book we'll tell you more about later in the program. Now, today, as we move forward into our series, Help My Unbelief, Speaking to the Heart of Doubt, we're going to be turning to the book of Mark, chapter 9, to discover the root of faith. Mark begins with a recap of last week's program, and without further ado, let's jump into the next edition of Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe.
The disappointment of taking his boy from one doctor to another, hoping that maybe this doctor would have the cure, and yet once again disappointed. Taking him to someone that maybe had some potion or herbal remedy that would help solve it. But again, the boy ended up always the same. And finally, he heard about Jesus. And he thought, well, maybe if I take him to Jesus, this man that I've heard, well, I've heard that he raises the dead, that he's touched blind people and they see, that he's made lame people to walk. In fact, I've heard stories that he's walked on the water himself. And so he decided to take him to Jesus, and Jesus was on the mountain, so he found the disciples of Jesus. And he takes his son to the disciples of Jesus, hoping that finally the solution has come. Finally, my son will be touched and different. God will work in a supernatural way. The disciples gather around. They've done this before. They've seen people liberated. And so they pray for this boy. And you know what happens? Nothing. It doesn't tell us exactly what happened, but they prayed again, I'm sure. And like every good Christian, if it doesn't work the first time, you raise your voice louder the second time. Some of us kind of have this idea that, well, if we pray louder, maybe God will hear us. God's not deaf. A louder prayer doesn't make God hear us better. And so they pray again. Watch, and nothing happens. And they pray again and gather more, and nothing happens. And so then they start arguing. How come you can't do this? Well, maybe the disciples were saying, well, you know, maybe your faith isn't strong enough. And they start arguing amongst themselves. And that's when Jesus comes. I think the father was disappointed that when he brought his son to the disciples, they also failed him. You know, I'm told that Charles Darwin, who was the first to come up with the theory, and I call it a theory, the theory of evolution, he was not a vocal, outspoken embracer of the theory of evolution until his 10-year-old daughter, Anne, died. You may not know this about Charles Darwin, but his wife was a believer. Their 10-year-old daughter died. His wife, through her pain of losing a child, she embraced her faith even stronger. Darwin, on the other hand, struggled with how could a God in the universe let my daughter die? And so, in his pain, I believe he searched for a solution to the non-existence of God and embraced his theory of human evolution even more strongly as a reaction against hurt in his heart towards a daughter that had died. Let me tell you something. Christians are going to hurt you. I've run into so many people that tell me they don't go to church and don't believe in God because they run into hypocritical Christians. You know how many conversations I've had? I've said, are you a Christian? Oh, no. My stepfather was a Christian. He was the biggest hypocrite I ever saw in the world. He was abusive, physically, mentally. I want nothing to do with Christianity. And I want to say, hold on, pause a second. Just because your stepfather was messed up doesn't mean God is messed up. I mean, just because people that represent God have problems doesn't mean that God himself has problems. God had as much problem with your stepfather as you do. It grieved the heart of God as much as it grieved you. We have a lot of poor representations of God, but it doesn't mean that God has failed. There's been a lot of atrocities that have been done in the name of Christ. The Spanish conquistadors, when they came to South America, I'm told, they came not only with the flag of Spain, but they also came with the flag of the church. And they were so brazen about eliminating some of the tribal people that existed in South America that I'm told that at their worst moment, they would baptize babies with holy water and then cut their heads off. In the name of Christianity? Seriously. I mean, there's been atrocities committed. I grew up in Spain. I have to say, I'm sad to say that Spain had one of the longest, most severe inquisitions, a 400-year inquisition, where the church, the Christian church, actually would torture people out of heresy in the name of God. I mean, some crazy things have been done in the name of God, but I want you to know this. And so people end up hurt in the name of God. Some people have grown up in places where they've been hurt by pastors and priests and people that claim to know God. And so they decide the people that represent God have deeply hurt me. So I no longer want to have anything to do with God. But you see, the problem is that that person is not God. And there may be some of you here in this place that have been deeply hurt, deeply disappointed, deeply injured by someone that claimed to be a Christian, someone that claimed to be a follower of God. And so you have put a big X around everything related to God because someone deeply hurt you. And all I want to say is give God a chance, because whoever hurts you is not God. God is so different than what has happened to you. This man was disappointed by the disciples that couldn't help him. But Jesus arrived on the scene. Secondly, if you're taking notes, write this down. At the root of faith is my ability to trust someone outside of myself with my well-being. You see, faith is not just intellectual assent. Faith is trusting. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but a lot of people that don't know God. There's a difference between believing in the existence of God and knowing the person of God. The Bible says that even the demons believe in God, but they don't have a personal relationship with God. Faith is trusting God with your well-being, trusting him so that you know him. I believe that in this passage, I'm going to read in verse 19, Jesus looks around at his disciples and he says, "You unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." He wasn't mad at the Father for struggling with his faith. He was frustrated with his disciples who had seen so much and still seemed to need more proof to strengthen their faith. What at the root Jesus was telling this father to do is trust me. So they brought the boy to Jesus, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions, and he fell to the ground and he rolled around, he foamed at the mouth. How many of you know that when there is truly the presence of God, it will cause a reaction oftentimes in the dark world around us? That the presence of God, Jesus, cannot be ignored. It causes a reaction. I love the fact that it says, and the Spirit saw Jesus. When true authentic spirituality's around, the spiritual world takes a note of it. When Jesus walks into the house and the power of God walks into the house, you can be sure that it'll start stirring things up in the spiritual world. Suddenly, when Jesus walks in, it seems like things got worse. Have you ever noticed that? You start bringing someone to church. Hey, you really need God? They say, okay, I'm going to try it. They start coming. And then it seems like their depression gets worse. Their addiction escalates. Their confusion seems to go out of control. And then they say, well, I thought I was going to come to church. Things were going to get better, man. I feel like things are getting worse. Oh, just hang on. There's a battle happening for your soul. This is a spiritual battle between the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of those who want to keep you away from the Spirit. There is a reactioning happening. There is a combustion that's happening, colliding against each other, faith and doubt, spirit and the flesh, darkness with light. I mean, it stirs some things up. And Jesus was asking this man basically to trust him. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long? He says, from childhood. And he explains his frustration. And then the boy's father says to Jesus, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus says, if you can? You're talking to the Son of God. If you can? And then Jesus looks him straight in the eyes, and I hear Jesus looking with a tone of compassion, but yet authority. Everything is possible to him who believes. In essence, what Jesus was telling this father is, I want you to trust me. Everything is possible, but will you trust me? Will you believe enough to trust me to make changes? And then the father, I can see it almost lowering his eyes, looking to the ground and saying, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. You see, in essence, what Jesus is asking and what God asks of every individual that he changes his life is, but faith requires you to trust God. Faith requires trust. Some people don't want to believe because they don't want to be disappointed. You guard your heart. I've talked to women who tell me they have a hard time looking to the heaven and calling God their father because their own biological father was an absent father or verbally abusive or a guy that was not there when they were struggling, walked out on their house when they were 3 years old. And so to look at God and to relate to God as a father, they struggle with it. Because when they look to God, they think, are you too gonna walk out on me when things are tough? When I don't measure up to where you want me to be, are you gonna throw me aside, call me a name? Are you gonna verbally abuse me, God? And so when they think of father, they don't have this warm feeling of a father that's there, that's faithful, that embraces, that protects them. They have negative feelings towards a father. And so it's hard to trust. Some of you have a very tough time trusting anybody, including God. Because the very people that were your authorities, the very people that were supposed to be there, the people that you were asked to trust, so severely and deeply disappointed you that to trust God is really hard. You've trusted no one in your life except yourself. And to trust God is a huge step of faith in your life.
This is Bold Steps Weekend. You're listening to Mark Job, and Mark will be back in just a moment. First, we want to remind you that if you ever miss these radio programs due to a busy day or a change in schedule, you can always listen again on your own time by going to our website, boldstepsweekend.org. Or if you'd enjoy listening to these Bible lessons when you're out taking a walk or running errands, be sure to subscribe to our Bold Steps Weekend podcast and get these messages downloaded automatically to your phone or smart device. Just head over to your favorite podcast app and search for Bold Steps Weekend with Dr. Mark Job. By the way, while you're there, be sure to subscribe and leave us a comment. And then consider doing the same over on our social media pages. We have a growing community of believers taking bold steps for Christ, and you can like and follow our pages on Facebook, Instagram, even YouTube by searching for Bold Steps Radio. Now, the second part of today's message, Mark has much more to say about faith, doubt, and the spiritual world.
Thirdly, write this down. I'm talking about the heart of faith and overcoming doubt. Often our faith is tested by an escalating problem as we come closer to a spiritual breakthrough. Verse 25, it says, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. He said, you deaf and mute spirit. Now, the spirit wasn't deaf and mute, but it was a spirit that caused deafness and muteness. Now, don't go around thinking that everybody that's deaf and mute has a spirit, because that's not what it's saying here. I don't want you to go to, you know, a school of the deaf and mute and start casting out devils and trying to pray over everybody, because there's a physical disease, but at times there's spiritual disease. Some people are deaf just because they have, you know, problems with their hearing or disease with their hearing. There's certain diseases that are physical diseases, but there are certain diseases that have roots in the spiritual world. The Bible speaks of a woman that was bent over for 20 years. Most doctors would have diagnosed her as severe scoliosis or osteoporosis of some kind that bent her over so bad. But the scripture reveals that at the root of that disease, there were spiritual forces. Not every disease is tied into the spirit. But sometimes there are diseases that are tied into the spiritual world, because we are body, soul, and spirit, and they cannot be divided. Your spirit affects your body affects your soul affects your body, your spirit affects your body. They're tied into each other. And sometimes there is a force within our spirit that affects our body and our soul. And it's interesting that when this young boy is brought to Jesus, that suddenly the problem escalates, and he's foaming and he's rolling around on the ground, and Jesus addresses him and he says, you deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you out of him and never enter him again. I love the fact that Jesus wasn't just bringing temporary solution to a problem, but he says, I want you out and I never want you to enter him again. In other words, this will be permanent. And then the Bible says the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently. You see, if I were there watching, I would think it's getting worse. Jesus is supposed to make it better, heal it. But it got worse before it got better. And it says he shook him violently, and the boy looked much like a corpse, and many said, he's dead. Imagine the father, I brought him to Jesus, and now the boy's convulsing violently, and now he's dead? You see, I compare it a little bit to, well, what happens when a woman is about to give birth to a child. There's a phase in this childbirth process that's called the transition phase. Transition phase, when you're delivering a child, is a woman that's in labor has the least hope when she is closest to delivering a child. Often at the doorway of a delivery, a woman will feel like she's about to die, like she can't do it, like it's hopeless, like I have to give up. Someone do something. Thank God I've never had to go through that. I've rubbed my wife's back while she was going through it, but I never had to go through that. And maybe you women can testify to that. Yeah, I know that feeling of being there like this. Please deliver me from this, because this isn't. But that's called the transition phase. And here's what doctors say, that it gets worse right before the delivery. It's the worst moment right before the delivery. And so it is in our spiritual world. When God is about to work, when God is about to move, sometimes it escalates, it gets worse. The tension, the struggle, the battle of our soul gets worse right before the delivery, because I'm going to tell you, there is a spiritual battle between the light and darkness. There is forces that do not want your life to belong to God, do not want your destiny to change, and there's a spiritual battle for your destiny. And right before it gets better, sometimes it feels a lot worse. The Bible says that when Jesus had prayed for this, verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand after people thought that he was dead, and he lifted him to his feet and he stood. That boy had just been liberated, even though his father doubted. And lastly, verse 28, Jesus has a conversation with his disciples, and he said, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive the spirit out? And he replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. And some versions of the Bible say prayer and fasting. You see, I believe that a heart of doubt is not cured by intellectual arguments, but by spiritual revelation. You see, I don't believe that most people encounter God because the person talking to them has more intellectual arguments and a better, what's called apologetics, than they have. I've never seen someone really come to Christ and bow their knee and say, I really want God, because someone won an argument with them. If you have a sparring argument over theology, and you have a sparring argument with someone over the existence of God, that person, if you win the argument, will walk away. That person will say, well, they're very smart, I'm going to try to come up with a better argument. But seldom do they bow their knee. Seldom do they say, God is real. Because I'm convinced that your doubt is not dispelled by people who have better arguments than you. Your doubt is dispelled by a revelation in your heart. When God breaks through your heart and your spiritual eyes are opened and you encounter the reality of God, not through a good argument, but because God breaks through. In this case, he told his disciples, this can only happen through prayer and fasting. In other words, God has to break through. This is a spiritual breakthrough that happens. There may be some of you here that there has been a battle for your soul. Maybe you have been resisting God. Maybe you've been struggling to know God for some time, but you feel the battle there. Part of your heart doubts. Part of your heart wants God, but you know there's a battle. And maybe you have been protecting yourself for years by saying, well, I don't know if I fully believe. And that's been your way of self-protecting. Because you know that if you truly say, I believe, then you're going to have to take steps on it. Some people only live half-heartedly for God because they don't really truly fully embrace and believe. And they know that if they choose to believe, then they'll have to live differently. Maybe some of you, God is wrestling for your life, and you felt that quiet whisper inside of your soul drawing him to yourself, but you fought it. Some of you are like the father that says, I believe, but help my unbelief.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job here on Bold Steps Weekend. If you know someone who might benefit from these Bible teachings on doubt and faith, feel free to direct them to our website, boldstepsweekend.org. Well, here at Bold Steps Weekend, we're passionate about equipping believers with the truth and tools necessary to live boldly for God. And this month, we're seeking to reignite your passion for effective prayer by offering you a book by Dr. Bill Thrasher titled, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. You know, prayer comes in all shapes and sizes, but not all prayers are created equal. So how do you know if you're just going through the motions rather than building a real connection with God? Dr. Thrasher's book is here to help. The book offers expert insights and practical tips to help you enhance your spiritual connection and cultivate a more robust prayer life. We'll send you a copy of How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps Weekend. Call 866-535-5580. That's 866-535-5580. Or go online to boldstepsweekend.org. You can also send a gift in the mail. Our address is Bold Steps Weekend, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then if you'd like to expand the impact of your giving, consider becoming a Bold Partner and signing up to support this ministry on a monthly basis. Your monthly gift will help others all across the country and the world hear the life-transforming message of the gospel, and you'll get some pretty cool perks too. Learn more about becoming a Bold Partner online at boldstepsweekend.org. And then as we look ahead to the week, we want to invite you to join us for our daily Bold Steps program. Find it on your local station or simply go to boldstepsradio.org to learn more. Well, that's all the time we have. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us next time for another message from the series, Help My Unbelief, Speaking to the Heart of Doubt. That's next time on Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Job. Bold Steps Weekend is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.